go. You know, it's funny that you bring your theme with you on a cassette tape.
They're going to play this at my funeral. I'm going to
really?
I want to be bitchin'. In my will. I want to be. I want to be strung up like a marionette.
Okay.
And I'm going to be like fake air guitaring this theme tune.
I like that. I like that.
And I'm going to record, like, self-record my voice saying, like, "Thank you for coming. Nice to see you. How? Ooh. Hey, where's the gift?"
I wonder if anyone's ever done that before for like their funeral or for their wake, is record something like that and be silly.
That's one of the things I'd like to do.
Like, get me out of here.
Well, yeah.
With an echo.
I was just going to say, I actually did see a video on social media of a guy in Ireland who taped, "Get me out of here.
Oh, my.
I'm stuck. I'm not dead." But he was actually dead. But they taped it into his coffin.
Didn't they just do something a while ago, a news story where somebody was sent to the funeral home and the funeral home had to call the fire department back and go, "Yeah, she's not ready. She's breathing.
She's still alive?"
She's for the autopsy.
Oh,
was it an autopsy? Mm-mm.
Well, maybe that too. But this was recently, I think it was in Chicago, where all of a sudden the person who was brought there, you know, family, mourning, you know, she's breathing.
I'd like to do an Andy Kaufman thing as well. Like, have someone dress up as me and everyone be like, "Is that Elliot? Is that not Elliot?"
Yeah, I like that. Elliot Bamber from Chicago's Best on WGN TV is live in studio. You're next, our employee. You can be in here. You've been in this building. It's okay. It's nice to see a human being sitting across from me having a conversation.
It's nice to see a fellow human being, not on a Zoom chat, across from me in the same room, that I can actually interact with as human beings do.
What words, what phrases, what things are you just going to never do again after the pandemic?
Unprecedented.
Okay, unprecedented.
Pivot.
Yeah. Unusual.
Sweatpants.
Okay.
What's on Netflix?
Okay. Yeah. Binge.
Should I eat the last donut? Is it something I'm never going to say again? Lots of things.
Zoom. I'm never going to say. Google Meet. I want any of it anymore.
No.
I can't wait to. But I'm not sure if everything's going to change all that much anytime soon. Even like end of next year, are we still going to be Zooming? Are we going to get used to this where we don't have to go in the office? Are we going to get used to this where we don't have to all show up for a board meeting?
Some things feel like it was progress that was waiting to happen that's been thrust upon everyone. But as we pivot in these unprecedented times in our sweatpants, there we go.
Yeah. The only thing Zoom I knew was the Zoom TV show. This is an American thing, but it was on PBS in the 70s. And it was just a bunch of, you know, bell bottoms and singing and all that other stuff.
Yeah,
so
I just missed that by about 37 years.
You did. 37 years in the 70s. That's nice. So I'm a Cubs fan. Cubs lost. They're out. Sox are out.
Boo.
Yep.
Boo that the Sox are out. Yay that the Cubs are
out. Yeah, I hear you. Okay. Yeah. I'm a Cubs fan. I'm can't say that.
Fan.
No hockey till January. We got the NBA finals. There's NFL football. But your soccer's happening.
Dude, the hottest team in Chicago right now. I feel like the SNL skit.
They 4-3. What are they now?
They are 4 wins, 7 defeats, and a couple of draws. But they have two wins on the bounce.
Okay.
Team is looking good. The cohesion's coming together now. Yeah. They're back at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
It feels.
And on WGN now.
They are on WGN now.
TV. Yeah, yeah.
They are. Yeah. It's a great home for them. It gets them more exposure. The move, like I said, to Soldier Field. What I was really disappointed. Another thing that like crushed me. March 31st was supposed to be the home opener for the Fire at Soldier Field, the first time since we left and went to Bridgeview.
Yep.
And it was going to be against Atlanta.
Yep.
And it was going to be a big party. There was like nearly 60,000 tickets sold.
Mm-hmm.
And of course.
Yeah. How many other things like that did you say, of course? Like, okay, give me your list of, I missed that, or it just like, didn't happen for me this summer, or
again, sweatpants. I hate wearing sweatpants, and it's like, I refuse to wear them. It's like, of course, I'm wearing them now.
Here's another one. Drive-through.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that, because everything. I did a Wisconsin State Fair drive-through, where we went through
what
and picked
the hell
up
is
our
a drive-through Wisconsin State Fair.
They had cheese curds. They had pork sandwiches. Sorry about that into the microphone. Pork sandwiches. They had cream puffs. And you just drove from station to station, bought your stuff, got in the car, and got the hell out of there.
Do you have a classic county fair ride where they take the keys out of your car, put it in neutral, and just push you down a hill? And they're like, the louder you scream, the faster it goes.
There would have been some distancing there. You could have done that.
That's a fun ride.
Yeah,
that's bumper cars.
That is
real cars.
That is a little bit like bumper cars. Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Drive-through.
Curbside.
Touchless Touchless curbside is another
curbside,
one. Yeah, curbside.
Touchless
delivery.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be touched
or
anyway.
Contactless. Well, yeah, okay. All right. That's a very good line there.
If I don't know them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to be. And it's funny, like, some people are, they just lay it down in front of you and say hello. Some people drop it like it's a bomb on your porch. And then you look inside and it's just like splattered all over the place. Like they're just like dropping it off and running.
Some things that would not do well.
No. What?
Being dropped. Well, most things being dropped in a
soup.
In package.
Soup,
yeah.
Goulash.
Definitely goulash.
Yeah, goulash. Pie.
Some pies.
Right on the top, right?
I'm thinking anything from Alinea does not want to be dropped in a bag into something.
Yeah, it's true.
I can't imagine.
Oh, Alinea, yeah. And see, that's the other thing, too. You miss some of your favorite places that to go isn't fabulous.
But you also get places like Alinea that have never done takeout before,
right.
Preparing all
right.
these like meals and stuff. So it's
that's true.
Some things, there's Dave, I like to say there's upsides to everything that happen in life. Yeah. Like this time of year, this is my favorite time of year, October. I'm a horror freak. I'm obsessed
by horror
movies.
I know you are. I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah, it doesn't start and end in October for me. But like this year, I don't need to pretend that I'm going to dish out candy. I can just keep it all for myself anyway. Because normally, I'd get a ton of candy. Comes to Halloween, I'd wait for Halloween evening for trick-or-treaters, turn off all the lights, and watch them come up to the door, knock on it, not answer it, and just eat all the candy. This year, I don't even have to pretend to do that.
In front of them.
I can just do it anyway, because no one's coming to my door this year.
Well, you know, there's guidelines out there for that. But
there is.
But I don't know if I want to have my, like, I don't, you know, distance, and if you want to use gloves, but then you're grabbing food from everybody else's houses.
In the northwest suburbs, they have precautions where if you want to participate, just keep your lights on your house. And when you go to hand out the candy to the kids, wear gloves and wear a mask, and you give the kids the candy. The kids aren't reaching into your
I bet you
bowl
at some point
whatever.
You're touching the
I'm
candy.
I'm an adult, and I don't even
hands.
Remember all those instructions.
Yeah, but I bet you you're touching the candy at some point. And I thought to myself, okay, if we're really going to do this, why don't you ring the doorbell, step back a few feet, let the kids see the costume, happy Halloween, and go to the next house. Well, I didn't think candy was going to be involved in this year.
Take one of those T-shirt cannons from the Bulls games. Mm. And just fire the candy across the street.
Nestle's
just
yell, Crunch.
Great costume! Step back!
Some junior mints flying in the air.
Yeah.
I like your idea.
You're welcome.
I like your idea. We're going to talk about something, but we're going to take a break first.
I think we are. I think we're educating the public right now.
Yes, we are. We're going to talk outdoor dining because that's still happening, and people are being really creative about that. And I know you got some places in mind, and you got a show this weekend talking about that. And then... No Oktoberfest, but we've got a lot of great German restaurants in Chicago. We'll talk about that as well. Elliot Bamber, Chicago's Best. We'll be right back. Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. We're sitting in here in studio with Elliot Bamber from WGN TV, Chicago's Best. We got to talk a little food here. You've got an episode coming up this Sunday about outdoor dining. And as you can see, probably, as this is all morphing, there's 900. I know there's a heat lamp shortage. Like, if you want a heat lamp right now, you got to go to like the underground black market to find yourself a patio heater.
Really?
Yeah. Because, I mean, they've almost doubled the like, if I saw 8 patio heaters in an area that is probably only needed 6, now there's 12 of them there.
Right.
Because they're trying to keep everybody contained and fairly warm out there. But how long will outdoor dining go? You know, November, early November, maybe?
I like to be a lighthearted, fun, silly person, but I'm scared.
Yeah.
I'm worried. I mean, geez, like last week, Southport Lane's closed down.
I know.
Fountainhead, a great, incredible old school craft beer bar on Damon and Montrose, I think, or around the area, closed down. Schoolyard closed down. Like, places are closing down. Manny's was screaming out for people to
yes,
come support
them.
Yes,
they did. Yeah.
I'm terrified for winter.
Which I'm glad they did that. I think more restaurants need to do that. I know there's a lot of neighborhood places, and so the locals are going to support it. But
of course.
Some of these iconic ones, that like the Burghof. We're going to talk about some German food in a little bit, but Burghof is temporarily closed.
Right.
Which is because no one's going to work downtown. They'd probably make a big chunk out of their lunch money and stuff, and it's not there. And the same thing with Manny's.
Everyone is clinging on for dear life. And I mean, I tell everyone all the time when I bump into people in the streets and they watch the show, it's, you know, support your local restaurants because when they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah.
They're not going to come back. And
when this is over, you're going to want a place to go.
You're going to be desperate for a place to go. And these are the corner spots that hold the community together. They employ local people.
Yeah.
They produce local business for your community. They are the lifeblood of what happens. And it's just
depressing.
They
also support nonprofits. They support the schools.
Yeah.
They do all that as well. You got to remember that. Mm-hmm. So Sunday, you have an outdoor dining show. What are we going to see? What are we going to do?
A little bit of everything. You know, originally, we planned to do something that was kind of, you know, end of summer alfresco type situation. But then we figured that, you know, all these restaurants are closing down streets and, you know, you got the kind of alley dining and stuff going on.
Yep.
So we expanded to outdoor dining. And we kind of do a cross-section of everything. You'll see some South American food. We've, of course, thrown some Chicago-style pizza in there. There's a great double-decker in there, pizza. We got a good burger in the Southwest Burbs. But also focusing on these great outdoor dining spaces, which, fingers crossed, I hope everyone is still able to enjoy for at least the next couple months.
There's a place up in Wisconsin, this Mars Resort, the supper club that we've seen, and then what they do in the winters, they put these igloos out there. So mm-hmm. they're like a plastic igloo. They're lighted really cool. You know, it's on a lake, so I mean, it's going to get cold in the winter and there's going to be wind. They said, you know, we do heaters in there, but you're probably getting to about 55 degrees, maybe 60, depending on how cold it is. So it's not like you're walking in there and taking off your coat. You got to know about the experience of what you're doing. And you're going to see pods and stuff like that I've seen around the city just like that. But the heat isn't going to do enough of it. And I said, well, we had to change our menu too. We just said we're not doing hot food out there. we're doing oysters and this because then your expectations aren't going to be ruined in 5 minutes when your steak is cold or your burger's cold or whatever it might be.
And you can also rotate people a little quicker, so people are coming in and then you can get another line of customers in.
Some people, because it's an experience, these igloos are charging a fee for the igloo, and then you have to spend a certain amount of money. So you can eat inside or you can take it to go, or because it's such a hot commodity to be out there in these 8 pods on a weekend, you know, you're going to pay $30.
I've seen some pretty creative suggestions for when the mayor's office put out the request for, you know, some kind of ideas for Chicago for the winter dining, CTA buses.
I love that. CTA buses, the rail cars, the train cars, the old the storage cars and stuff. Yeah, the containers.
But I mean, you know, it's just I'm scared.
Yeah,
I'm scared.
Yeah. Yeah, I had 3 restaurateurs on earlier. We do a restaurant roundtable, and it was Gale Street Club Lago and Holtz and Park Ridge. And, you know, you could hear it in their voices, like, okay, we're doing this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. We have a plan, and then you get and, you know, because they're just hoping to get through it, and they're hoping to keep their people employed, too.
Right.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of things as we were talking about, and one of them was Oktoberfest. I know Berghoff did Oktoberfest to go, where you could, and it was in September. They always do it in September, and I don't understand that, but you could pick up your Oktoberfest and go celebrate yourself.
That's a cool idea.
You know, it was okay. It was like for a weekend or something like that, but tons of German restaurants in the city besides the Berghoff.
There's a great amount of restaurants around Chicago. I was kind of sad when the Chicago Brauhaus closed down, but now did you see that they've taken
the Dunkhouse?
Yeah, they've taken the interior and they're moving it to the Dunkhouse now. I'm not sure. I did a bunch of reading about it, and I couldn't see whether they're actually physically reopening the restaurant itself. But it looks like people who donated to the GoFundMe will get some kind of exclusive preview, get their name embossed somewhere, and we'll get some kind of evening there. But I think it's just for historical value. But of course, you mentioned the Berghoff, and that's a great place.
Yeah.
Another classic that I love is Lashitz Inn, 2119
West
Irving Park.
That's always at the top of everybody's list.
Because it's great.
Yeah.
Because
I've never been there, and I feel terrible. I'm German.
I need to take you there.
Yeah, let's do that.
It's somewhat, it's like a classic old school Chicago tavern, very dark inside. It's very run down on the outside. It's got a great neighborhood joint feel to it, and they just happen to be German influence, serving great steins of beer, and they have, you know, all your schnitzels.
And what neighborhood is this?
It's in North Center.
Okay. The Edelweiss, that's Norwich, I think?
Edelweiss is great. Yeah. That's not an Irving, is it? That's, oh my word, what am I thinking of?
No, it's Irving Park in Norwich. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Another classic institution full of, like, you know, great entertainment and stuff, and good beer and all the kind of trimmings that you'd expect from a German establishment.
So if you want a little taste of that and get some, you know, some local beer, some local brewed beer, some Oktoberfest beer, you can put your own little Oktoberfest together.
And also, I know you just you described how snobby you are about the whole thing, but Hofbräu House is a lot of fun. Have you ever been to the kegging of the beer and all the singing and the bands?
I didn't get to my point though when we were talking about Hofbräu House. I don't really like the chainy places, but I like Hofbräu House. I do like it, and I do like the food there.
I'm just messing with you.
No, but I just want to tell you, I didn't finish my story on that. So you are also involved in One Tale at a Time. I wrote down One Day at a Time. That's a TV show from the 1970s.
Again, 38 years too late for that show.
30 years too late
I'm actually wearing a One Tale t-shirt right now.
Yes, you are. Oh, I didn't even see that.
Yeah.
I got to pay attention.
No, you don't. You have to pay attention to me. My eyes are up here.
But tell us a little bit about that, because you just had something, and I think there's a fun run coming up at the end of the month. Like, is that a monthly thing?
One Tale at a Time is a dog rescue here in Chicago. They're doing a lot of incredible work with a lot of the other community rescues as well. One Tale is constantly doing fundraising. So last weekend we did what's called the Tiny Dog 500. I love talking about this in hindsight, which is basically literally a group of dogs running a 25-yard dash. And
it's
the dogs. So there's a lightweight class, there's a heavyweight class, there's a senior citizen class, there's prizes for best costume and stuff. And of course, right now, because of COVID, it was all done virtually. So one dog raced at a time, and their times were recorded, and then it was put together in a big race package.
That's
so we did that virtually. Yeah, it was great. One Tale is one of the many organizations in Chicago helping to save animals. And
has it been like pandemic busy, like people wanting to adopt, or are animals available? Like, tell me the scenario.
Here's the thing. I worried at the start of the pandemic that this was going to close some rescues down. Everyone stuck at home with nothing to do made everyone want to take on the chance to foster dogs.
That's great.
It started off with an overwhelming application from people who'd never had the chance, who didn't normally have the kind of work routine where they'd be at home all the time, suddenly had the opportunity to foster dogs. Then they fell in love with those dogs, and then they do what we call foster fail in the business, which is, I don't want to see this dog leave this house anymore. Let's just adopt this dog because he's been here and the kids love him. We love him.
Why is it a foster fail?
It's a foster fail because fostering, what you do is you take the dog in, because a lot of these facilities don't have endless wealth. You know, there's not a facility where we can house 300 dogs that we've rescued to go out for adoption. So what we do is we have foster families. So we get a dog from somewhere else in the country, from a national disaster, like a storm or whatever, or from CACC, which is the local Chicago Animal Care and Control Facility. And we take in animals and then we put them with foster families. Foster families take care of these dogs until they find their adoptive family. So they go into a warm home. They get a chance to become like a normal dog as opposed to being in a facility. And it means the chance for One Tail and other rescues to rescue other animals. And the thing continues. And where a foster fail happens is where the family falls in love with the dog, can't bear to see them live, have enjoyed their company so much that they end up adopting the dog full time.
Nice.
That's what a foster fail is.
Website for them?
OneTail.org.
OneTail.org.
Pete Zimmerman here at WGN for Anna DeVlantis. He's a foster for One Tail at a Time. He's a foster home. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Producer.
Producer.
That's very
Pete
cool.
Yep.
Okay. Very nice.
Yeah, actually, I know him. He does a lot of work.
And I think his wife, Molly, decorated one of the vans for
that. Their mobile vans are incredibly decorated. Yeah. So if she did, then she should be hired by everyone.
Very dedicated people with these organizations.
It makes me feel inadequate, the amount of hours and time and energy and effort these people put into things. I help where I can, but yeah, they're tireless. I mean, it's a 24-hour job. There's always a call to be made. There's always a dog to be rescued. There's always a surgery to happen. There's always money to raise to try and facilitate other things. It's a constant battle to try and save as many lives as possible. And One Tail is one of the many incredible organizations around Chicago. That's my baby, and I love them to bits.
Very, very cool. And Chicago's Best, Sunday night, 10:30, WGN. We fit out so much into the show today.
I didn't even get to talk about some other places where you can actually go and get your own German sausages
What is it? Quickly.
I was going to say Gene's Sausage Shop in Lincoln Square and Worst Kitchen out in Aurora. They both make them sausages in-house and stuff.
Nice.
Grab your sausage for Oktoberfest, people.
We'll see you next month.
I'd like to see you sooner than that, Dave, because I miss you.
We'll see what we can do. Me too, buddy. All right, talk to you soon.
Thanks, man.